Welcome back into Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Time to talk some Tribe, and we do that with Jim Rosenhaus, one of the voices of the Cleveland Indians. It's brought to you by your North Ridgeville convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, and by Eco Tree Services, your complete tree care company. Rosie, always a pleasure to have you on. How are you today?
Doing well, Andy. How are you?
Well, so far so good, and well, we have one game under our belt in summer camp anyways, and it feels so strange to say that, but that's the hand we have been dealt, and we're going to dive into many aspects of last night's game. I want to begin, though, with the pitching performance of Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber, five innings in that game, and I think the distance these guys go in these summer camp games are very, very important. Rosie, in your eyes, how did Bieber look last night?
I thought he looked really good, especially the first couple of innings. The velocity was there, and his breaking stuff looked sharp. His command was pretty good. He got away from it a little bit in the third inning, but I think what's important is, during the regular season, he's going to have those innings. So to be able to get through the third and then come back out and regain command of the game in the fourth and fifth innings was really good, because that's something he'll need to do during the regular season, so he was able to simulate that to some extent last night.
I've got to ask, how strange was it to call a game without any fans? Because I know you can pipe in the sound as much as you can, and the artificial sound can only do so much. Some guys seem to be okay with it. Others think it's a little bit too strange. How strange was it for you last night to call a game without anybody in the seats?
It's really strange. It's definitely away from the norm. I'm not sure about the piped-in crowd noise, because it's just kind of cheering when nothing's really going on. And I think baseball is the type of game where you have that kind of murmur of a crowd. And then when something big happens, people get into it. But it's hard to simulate that. So it is strange, even when you do pipe it in. At least it took away some of the echoes, when certain things would happen. At least you had something to buffer that. But it was weird for sure, but that's where they'll be, I think, for the season. There's been some talk that maybe at some point they'll go ahead and let fans in, but just based on where the virus is right now and the numbers that are climbing, it doesn't seem like we're going in a direction where fans would be a prudent choice to let them back in.
And you'd have to agree, too, that I think that would be met with a little bit of apprehension by some fans as well, just not knowing what kind of path this virus is going to take. And you're right. Right now, with where we are at, it's hard to believe that we'll see any kind of scenario that would lend us to seeing games with fans in the stands. But again, that's something I think we just kind of have to get used to for probably the rest of 2020. But we'll come back around to that in just a little bit here. Rosie, I know there have been talks about there being an exhibition game a little bit later on in the spring. Seems like proximity is going to weigh heavily in on this decision. If the Indians do end up playing an exhibition game, are the chances almost 100% that it would be against either the Pirates or maybe the Reds at this point?
Well, Andy, I think it will be against the Pirates. That's the team that has been talked about the most in discussions, that they would probably play a couple of games against Pittsburgh and try and have both teams at least one road game so that they get used to being in another ballpark and all that kind of stuff. So, I think it'll be Pittsburgh, and it might be two or three toward the tail end of spring training, just before the regular season begins, just to really give it that, that last real test run before playing regular season games. I think that would be really important, because I think, as we saw last night, the inner squads, it's hard to really simulate. It's not hard to simulate, but you can do a lot of different things that veer off the path of what a normal game looks like.
If we can stay with that for just a moment, Rosie, because I think the beauty of an inter-squad scrimmage is that you've got so much control over it. I think from a fan's perspective, sometimes it might drive you nuts because it doesn't really have the flow of a traditional game. But look, in summer camp, you're trying to find out what kind of shape guys are in, what kinds of things could or could not work. It's so experimental that it doesn't really have the flow of a normal game. Have they given you guys any kind of an expectation as to what to expect with these inter-squad scrimmages? I mean, will some be three innings, some be five, some be seven? Have they kind of laid any of that out for you guys?
Yes to all of the above. But what's good, Andy, I think the night before, so yesterday was the first one, so on Wednesday night, we got a sheet with what the pitching would be, and it said, you know, Beaver's going to pitch five innings, and then four relievers are going to work an inning apiece as the visiting team pitchers. So that tells you right there your game's going to be four and a half innings, and there's your indicator. So we'll probably get the same thing for tonight with Mike Clevenger on the mound. And as we get deeper and that pitchers need to go deeper into a game, they'll probably play six or seven innings. And once, though, I'm sure they're going to want the position players to play nine innings at some point. So they'll just make sure that they have enough pitching to get that done. So at least initially, we'll probably play about a half a game, which is what we saw last night, and it's going to gradually stretch out. And if there's a day in the schedule where they still want to play an inter-squad game, but they're a little short on pitching, maybe they'll just play three innings so certain guys can get at-bats and things like that. But it will be kind of that fluid situation. But at least we would know, I think, the night before what the plan is.
Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. It's brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco, and EcoTree Services. Rosie, how has the check-in process worked for you guys as far as getting to the ballpark with the temperature checks, all of that good stuff? Is it any different for you guys than it is for some of the players? How has that process worked so far?
Very strict for the players. Or when I've gone in, there's a temperature check, and if I think they said if it's over 100 or maybe 101, you got to turn around and go home. So fortunately, so far, so good on that count. But, you know, and then they just ask you if you've had any of the symptoms. They run through a laundry list of symptoms and things like that. And between the temperature check and the symptoms, they feel pretty good about things. So, we've been fortunate that, you know, there haven't been any hiccups. Now, it's very limited media so far, Andy. It's, you know, obviously last night it was myself and Tom, and then Matt and Andre Knott were doing some things for Fox Sports Ohio. But there's really maybe a half a dozen sports writers there from the different, you know, print media outlets, and that's about it. So, It's a very much scaled-down version, and they are limited as to how many can come in. Once the regular season starts, I think the maximum, including radio, TV, and print, is 35, which is way down from what you normally get.
And I guess along those same lines, too, Rosie, you know, have they given you guys any kind of access to the players as far as face-to-face contact, or is that all primarily being done via Zoom these days?
It's via Zoom, and I think smartly so, because we're considered, media is considered tier three, so we can enter the ballpark, but we immediately have to go up to the press box level. There's no going downstairs. There's no interaction with players, and it has to be that way because they're being so strict with the players, as we've seen already, and they get tested. They're supposed to get tested every other day. You know, fairly extensive testing and temperature checks and things like that, and they've done so much social distancing and cleaning between workout times and all that. They're on that service level, clubhouse level, whatever you want to call it, and they need that to be unto itself, and they just don't want anyone who's not taking, you know, that level of testing to be down there and then potentially infect someone, and then it goes through the whole team. So we're very much separated. We do our interviews via Zoom. Bart Swain and Corkery Tripp from the PR department have been wonderful, you know, freeing up guys and making them available. So, look, would it be nice to be able to do our jobs as we normally do, where you have time just to kind of shoot the bull a little bit, you know, with a guy not in an interview setting, but sometimes you get some really good stuff, or you get to know them, and then you build up that trust. That's not there, but that's okay. It has to be that way right now, and I think anybody in the media would feel awful if we did have access and it infected a couple of guys on a team. That'd be terrible. So I think it's really important the way it is right now, and so certainly okay with that, to the nth degree.
Yeah, I think we could certainly all agree with that, because we're all getting used to a different kind of normal, whatever that might end up being before the end of the season. Things are being done much, much differently in all walks of life, for that matter. Rosie, just some other impressions from last night. You know, taking a look at some highlights, I know Daniel Johnson hit a monster home run yesterday. Yu Chang went deep as well. Were there any other individual performance outside of what we discussed already from Shane Bieber?
Well, I thought Adam Sipper looked good last night on the mound. And, in terms of up and down the lineup, the two you mentioned certainly jumped out because of what they did. But Francisco Lindor looked good. That's Carlos Santana, a couple of doubles. I mean, looked like he's right locked in midseason form. And there were some others, I'm sure, that I'm missing. But it was just good to see guys get out there in a game situation, face some good pitching. Certainly the team that had to face Bieber, that was a real good challenge for them. I thought Santana looked really good, and then obviously the two guys that hit home runs looked good too.
One of the other big questions coming into this is, how is that lineup going to look? We thought maybe we got a little bit of a glimpse of that back in spring training, but, well, it seems like that was so long ago. So much has changed since. And yesterday, Cesar Hernandez led off and played second base, which is where, of course, he'll be throughout the course of the year. But leading off is something that we're not entirely sure if he's going to do. Do you think that was a sign of things to come with him leading off last night?
I'm not sure, Andy, but I know it was talked about in spring training. Would Lindor continue to lead off, or would he drop down to third, which I think he was last night in the third spot? It's interesting, and I think that's what these games are for. Terry Francona can get a look at different guys in different spots, which you normally would do during spring training. So I think we saw that last night. I don't know how much you read into it, but it's certainly a possibility of something that could happen during the regular season if he wants to move Lindor out of that leadoff spot where, he's had so much success in the past.
Yeah, and that'll be one of the big questions, of course, that gets answered here the next couple of weeks. Hard to believe that we are 2 weeks from today. We are 2 weeks away from opening day and a series of inter-squad games to take place next week as well. And then hopefully the week after, maybe a couple of exhibition games too as we get ready for the opener on July 24th. Well, Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward, Rosie, to making this a regular deal again every single Friday throughout the regular season.
It's nice to have some sense of normalcy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Whatever normal is these days. But when we talk to you on Fridays, that's normal to us.
That works.
Good deal, Rosie. Thank you, as always, for the time. Again, that's Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our chats with Rosie brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, and by Eco Tree Services, your complete tree care company. Let's find out what went down on this date in Indians history. That comes your way next here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.